Welcome to the Christ Community Church podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Kevin.
Well, we've got a question about prayer. This is a good one. It says, in John chapter 14, Jesus invites us to ask anything in my name, and it will be done. There is no clear qualifier in that verse. How should we interpret that? It's difficult to imagine that he means literally anything. And of course, there are many times when we pray, and the thing we're asking for doesn't happen. So can you speak to this passage?
Yeah, this is one of these great passages that causes a lot of Christians to wonder, what? Yeah. I mean, in the verse before, and if somebody's following along, this is John 14, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Of course, the verse before that, too, greater works than these will he do, greater works than Jesus. We're not going to get to that. That might be another question.
Yeah, that's a whole other kettle of fish.
Yeah, these two verses, cause a lot of head scratching among Christians. But yeah, first of all, we need to be very careful of two errors here. One is a mechanical view of prayer that, if I just put the Jesus coin in my prayers, then God will give me what I want. And, Jesus is just, kind of the lucky charm or the power that I need to call on. And that's a very pagan view of prayer, that if you just use the right words or the right name, then you can get what you want. And of course, we see this in the book of Acts where, people are casting demons out in the name of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus, and, they get beat up by demons. And, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you, so we need to be careful of a mechanical view of prayer with this. But I think a second danger, and more subtle, is that we operate independently of God himself. And I think this is probably the more subtle danger for Christians, Bible-believing Christians even, that we think we know best, and we think we know what needs to happen in this situation. And so we pray, like James and John, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to consume these toads, these people who are, not doing what we want them to do. And, Jesus, you guys, sons of thunder, rightly named, little anger problem there. But we often pray as though we think we know what needs to happen in this situation. And so, Lord, put that person in his place. Lord, provide for this need. Lord, I need all this money here right now. And there may be legitimate needs there. But the danger in that is that we position ourselves as God. And we are Lord over the situation. We know what is needed. And so we then go to God in Jesus' name and expect God to deliver. Again, it almost defaults again to this mechanical view, but it's coming out of an independence that we're maintaining with God himself. So the two errors, beware of, mechanical view, just using Jesus' name, Jesus coin, and then this independence that we have from God where really we think we know best. The context, there's not a lot of qualification in the verse, but I think there is in the context. Jesus, a little bit earlier, says, he's talking to Philip. This is this great, I go to my Father's house, and my Father's house are many rooms, and, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Philip, says, well, show us the Father. You're going to the Father, show us the Father. And Jesus says, have I been with you so long and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. interesting. Jesus speaks to words that he speaks and to actions, the works that he does. And elsewhere in John's gospel, Jesus had said, you know, the words I speak are the words that the Father wants spoken. I don't do my own works. I only do what I see the Father doing. So Jesus' whole ministry is explained by this concept of dwelling with the Father. He is listening to the Father and speaking what the Father wants. He's seeing what the Father wants to do and doing what the Father wants done. And the ministry of Jesus is one of union with the Father, dwelling with the Father in him and he in the Father. So that's the context that this then flows out of. So whoever believes in me, and of course belief is not just mere intellectual knowledge, belief is relationship. Whoever believes in me, walks with me, has me as their Savior, you know, I and you, you and me, that union that we have with Christ. To that one, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So, you know, kind of put this down to maybe some street language. Jesus is saying that with my people, there will be such an inseparable relationship, and there must be that inseparable relationship, that whatever you ask, you will be asking what I would ask in this circumstance. You'd be doing what I would be doing in this circumstance. We see a great picture of this, I think, in marriage. I think we know how our wives would ask for something, or what they desire. Or our wives know what their husbands love and desire, and they, for instance, our wives shop with their husbands in mind. What does my husband like to eat? They don't go buy stuff that we hate and serve that up, but you know, they know what we like, and so they shop with us in mind. Similarly, we are so united with Christ. There's a relationship that is vital, and so we know what Christ would ask in a circumstance like this that I'm facing, or what the works of Christ are. Those are the things I want to be doing. Jesus, I think, underscores this even a little bit more in chapter 15, verse 7. He says, if you abide in me, you make your address me, and my words abide in you. So there's this sense of this living dynamic of Christ in me, his word alive in me. I know what the mind of Christ is. I know the things that are on Christ's heart of loving my enemies, blessing those who persecute me. The will of Christ moving toward the needy in my circle, showing compassion, responding with compassion rather than hatred or anger. The mind of Christ is so vast of how Jesus responds to people and what he's about. But he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So there again, the same promise, but it all comes out of the abiding life, that I am so united to Christ. I'm in his word. His word is in me. And so when I come to my prayer life and I'm asking for things, I'm praying with the mind of Christ. What is it that Jesus wants to do? And so I think that's the background, the context around this asking. So the problem now is we don't abide well. We are constantly moving to a sovereign position where we think we know best, and we know what Jesus needs to do for us. And so we constantly ask from that frame of mind. I think that where this drives us is to abide in Christ. Am I abiding in him? Am I living in him? Is he filling me? And when I get to that place, then I will ask for the things that Jesus would ask for. Mm-hmm. I will have the mind of Christ to know how to pray into my circumstances. And I think, you know, we've all heard and we've all experienced this. Well, I prayed and Jesus didn't give me what I asked. Well, that doesn't mean prayer doesn't work. It may very well mean keep wrestling. Mm-hmm. Keep wrestling, because you may not have the mind of Christ yet of what is it that Jesus would want to do in this circumstance. Mm-hmm. What is he doing? And so, you know, I there's a lot of unanswered prayers in my life, as there are probably in yours. Things that I'm asking God for and waiting on him. And as I'm praying through things, whether it's the salvation of my neighbor or issues in the church that I'm just, they're heavy on my heart, I'm praying into these, I begin to ask a different set of questions rather than, Lord, you know, why don't you provide for this need? Why haven't you saved this person? I begin to ask, Lord, what is it in me that you're bringing forth? What virtues and qualities, what characteristics of Christ are you developing in me as I'm waiting for you? As I'm longing for you to be the answer to this problem, and it just seems like nothing's ever going to change. Mm-hmm. And so I'm waiting with this expectation that God is at work in me, refining me, and my prayer life becomes much deeper rather than just, you know, a list of boom, 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 you know, do this, do that, and these five things too. It becomes a journey of walking with God. And I think that richer prayer life and walk with the Lord develops out of that. So, you know, I look back at Jesus and, you know, things that Jesus asked that the Father said no to. And, you know, not long after this, we're in John 14, but we get over to John 17, the high priestly prayer. But we also know from the other Gospels, you know, within a few days here, a few hours, Jesus is going to be in the garden. Father, take this cup from me. That's what he wants to pray. But what does he pray? Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus is wrestling in prayer with what he really wants. And Jesus had said, you know, I could have asked the Father and he would have given, you know, a legion of angels or something, you know, to minister. He could have asked, get me off this cross. He could have asked all those things. Why didn't he? It's because the Father was dwelling in him. He knew the mind of the Father, the plan of the Father, and he was so sold out for it. So that's what he asked for. Mm. He knew what to ask and what not to ask. And even when he wanted to ask something else, you know, take this cup from me, his resolve was, but that's not going to be my request. What I am going to ask is your will be done here, and I'm committed to it. And there was a wrestling in that, and that Jesus three times prayed that is an encouragement to me that, you know, as I'm working through things in my prayer life, I may be asking for A over here, you know, the release or, you know, provide this, and I'm sensing a no from the Father. And so as I'm working on, okay, what is the bigger story, Lord? What is the bigger thing you're doing here? And as I catch a glimpse of that, maybe it's a deeper work in me. Maybe it's a deeper work in that person. Maybe it's, I'm just going to have to wait for God to be glorified. And he will get the glory in a greater way through a different answer to this prayer than what I'm asking initially. Mm-hmm. And so I'm willing to trust the Father for that. And so again, this is this rich tapestry of prayer, and we see it in Jesus, but it all comes out of the context of relationship. Jesus is abiding in the Father, and the Father is in him. And now we abide in Christ, and Christ abides in us. And out of that relationship, there's going to be, certainly for us, a lot of room for growth. But even when we are near to Jesus, near to the Father, there still may be that wrestling prayer. We see it in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so what does Jesus ask for? For the Father's will to be done. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what Jesus is getting to, that ask anything in my name, ask out of the relationship that you have in me, ask out of my word abiding in you, ask out of knowing who I am and what I'm about, ask out of my love for you, ask out of my purposes for you, ask out of my intent to bring glory to God. And when our life is full of that, and there may be a, you know, may take us a long time to get to that, but that sense of the fullness of Christ and the greatness of Christ, then we're able to see, this is what I need to be asking for.
I think Tim Keller once said, a lot of these
statements in Scripture, they're like a hard piece of candy, and if you bite on it, you're going to break a tooth. This is something you need to suck on, and you suck on this thing for a while, but the context is there, mm-hmm. and it's in Christ and His relationship with the Father, and I think that sets the example for us of what He is now talking about that we have with Jesus.
Well, I need to throw one more thing at you out of this, because what comes to me is it comes across as though you could think that ultimately what's really going on in prayer is that you are coming in alignment with God and His will, and that when you ask anything, it's not really so much about you participating in the thing happening. It's really about you coming in alignment with what God is doing, which is a different way of thinking about it. What do you think of that?
Oh, I think that is very much on target. I'm about to walk into a meeting here at 9 o'clock with some staff, and I need to go into that meeting thinking, Jesus, what is it you want to accomplish here? And let me be attentive to you, present to your presence in this meeting. And the work really is the Lord's. And, I think that's what a follower of Christ is got to. We've got to surrender that. We're not masters of our own fate. We're not, we are not God on the throne. Living with that sense of expectation and anticipation that Christ is here, and we may not fully see it in the moment. I think we have to, become okay with that. But to trust that God's greater purposes are in operation, and I want to be committed to those. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be attentive to what God wants to do here. In this circumstance of my life. And that's hard. That's really hard.
Will you pray for us?
I will. Mm-hmm. And just one other thing, Jesus invites us to pray.
Yeah, right.
I mean, this is a tremendous invitation. Ask anything in my name. Tells me, number one, that no matter where I am, God is at work. And there's nothing that I'm involved in that God is not involved in too. And to be asking that conversation, that relationship ongoing with the Father, is just a tremendous encouragement to me. I mean, nothing I face today, nothing you face today, is God on a sideline. He's very involved in that and has... is working His purposes out in that for me, for His glory, for the sake of that other person. We don't know all that God's doing. And so, wow, Lord, make me attentive and be a praying force in this circumstance, attentive to the things that you want to do and praying into those. So it's an invitation to kind of an adventure, in a way, to walk with God, who's very involved in my day with his great purposes. So,
will you pray for us?
So, Father, thank you for your kingdom that is advancing on all fronts and at all times. Lord, for all of us as we go through this day, Lord, would you make us aware of your presence? And Jesus, we want to dwell in you. We want to abide in you. We want your word to abide in us so that we are not walking blindly or ignorantly, but we are attentive to who you are and what you are about in our circumstances. And Lord, when we are confused and we don't know, thank you that we can throw up those help, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom, and thank you that you are pleased to answer those prayers. Thank you that we can cast all our cares upon you because you care for us, and that you are working in us and you're working through our prayers to accomplish your great ends. And Lord, teach us the joy of this passage of asking anything in Jesus' name. And Lord, teach us the discipline of this as well, that Jesus... you care about what we're involved in, and you are at work in that. And Lord, we want to know your mind and your purposes in our daily stuff. So, Lord, lead us and give us that great sense, Lord, of who you are and what you are doing and how to pray, Lord, in your name. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.